speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
What is our life here in this world to be all about? You know, if you ask people who are in the world, they will utter off a number of things, that their job is important to them and the family is important to them. And these certainly are important factors to life. But yet at the same time, as Christians, you and I know that the most important aspect of our life is to be centered in and around our God and the church. As we look in regard to the way in which God lines things up for us, it is to be God, the church, family, and then others, and then ourselves. And as we think in regard to making God and the church number one in our life, what does that entail? How are we able to accomplish it? And what does it mean to make God number one in our life? Good people, it means that we love God, certainly with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it's more than just saying that we love God to this level. We understand, according to what the Bible says, that if we truly love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that we will not only say these things, but rather that we will do all that we can to know our God. And how do we come to know our God? Good people, we come to know God in a very clear and detailed fashion, as we would study from His inspired, inerrant, and complete Word. And as we would study from God's Word, we come to an understanding then as to the way in which God loves us, and then based out of the way in which God loves us, we love Him because He has first loved us. And that love that we have for God, according to the way in which God defines it, if indeed He is number one and His church also beside Him as being number one in our life, we will obey God, serving God faithfully throughout the course of our life. And we will not be satisfied with where our level of love and faith in God is, but rather that we will do continually in our life to make certain that our faith in God and our love for God abounds continually. How are we able to accomplish this great goal that God lays before us, to make Him number one and also to make certain that the church is a very vital part of our life? Good people, our God defines a picture for us in the Scripture that helps us to understand the process. In regard to the way in which God lays out the home, we find is that the husband and wife are able to share in a relationship with one another. And that as we are in a relationship as a husband and wife, we love one another to the nth degree, if you would. And as we love one another as a spouse ought to, we understand that God, in the natural process of things, and if medically everything is all right, He will bless the home with children. And I contend, as I stand before you today, to tell you that children truly are a blessing given by God. They are a heritage that is provided by God. They are a gift by God unto those who are in the home. And as parents, the Bible tells us that we have a huge responsibility laid upon us. The role that we have as parents, as mothers and fathers, is a very serious role as God defines it through His inspired message. We are to provide for the essential things that our family needs in life. Whenever we find that our children are in need of the things that are necessary for the sustaining of life, the food, shelter, and clothing, we have an obligation as well as a privilege to make certain that we as parents do all that we can to make certain that those needs are met. But also, as parents, you and I have an obligation, not only from a secular point of view, but also whenever it comes from the Scripture, to make certain that our children have the right, proper education in order for them to be able to be productive citizens here in this world, but also so that they will be able to be productive citizens in the kingdom of our God. But in like figure, the Bible identifies for us, and you and I as Christian parents ought to know these things, is that we have an obligation to provide an expression unto our children that will help them to understand how much we love them, how much we care for them, and how concerned we are for them, so that they will be productive citizens in the kingdom of God, so that they will be able to live a life that is pleasing and acceptable before God. In all, God shows us that He wants us to make certain that we raise our children in Christ. Well, what does it mean to be raised in Christ? Good people, to be raised in Christ is to be raised according to the Bible. We understand that the Bible is God's communicated message to man. And we understand that as God has spoken to us, is that His Word provides everything that we need that is essential for life as well as for godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. But also we understand concerning the authority of the Word of God and how that God's Word is there to guide our lives and to direct our paths as we dwell here, so that someday we will be able to live eternally in heaven with God. And therefore, as parents, we have a huge responsibility that is laid upon us to make certain that we instruct our children according to our God's Word. But also, as we think in regard to raising our children in Christ, we need to understand the significance of raising them in the church. And good people, I'm going to press upon that as we move forward in the lesson today, making certain that our children are raised in the body of Christ, not outside of that in any form or fashion, but rather to make certain that as we are bringing our children up in the Lord, that that also entails bringing them up in the Lord's church, so that we will have their goal fixed upon attaining an eternal reward in heaven with our God. How are you and I as parents going to be able to be successful in raising our children in a way that will be pleasing to God? In a way that will glorify God in the community of which we are part of? How will you and I be able to be successful in rearing our children in such a way that not only will God and society be benefited because of the life that they live, but also so that the Lord's church will be able to be blessed as a result of their connection with the true body of Christ? Good people, the church is an essential component in all of this. So then now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In order for our families to be able to have the type of faith that will be beneficial all the way around in their life, it is essential for them to be connected with the body of Christ. As elders in the body of Christ, we understand that we are obligated, as well as we have the privilege of feeding and leading the church here at East End. And as a result of that, we understand that we have an obligation to make certain that the faith, the doctrine of Christ is taught in the classes as well as it is preached from the pulpit on a continual basis. And then in like figure, as we look in regard to the way in which the church is able to assist us in raising our family in the church, not only do we preach and teach these things, but in the church there are those who have been rock solid members of the body of Christ for many years, and therefore these individuals serve as mentors, as examples, as encouragers to our families as they are being brought up in the body of Christ. What is God's design for the way in which people are converted and for the church in order for it to be strong in the community as well as to be a solid body in the brotherhood? Good people, as we look in regard to the way in which the biblical process is laid out, people come to understand the truth. We have a world out here who does not know God. And oftentimes we have an opportunity as Christians to teach them the Word of God, and in that we need to step up to the plate and make certain that we do tell them the truth in regard to where they stand with God. If they are lost in sin, we need to define that to them. And as people come to an understanding of the truth, then the Scripture identifies to us is that they convert to true New Testament Christianity if their heart is right and if they truly want to be pleasing and acceptable to God. We understand that this certainly follows or complies with what we see took place there at Pentecost, the day in which the Lord's church began. People were lost outside of the body of Christ, and as a result of that, the truth is taught, and about 3,000 souls put Christ on in baptism that very day. But also take into consideration the Apostle Paul. That man was lost, and the truth is taught to him, and out of hearing the truth, he comes to understand that he's lost. He obeys the truth. He converts to true New Testament Christianity. As a result of what happens then, we understand that families are to rear their children in the church. Take into consideration Eunice and Lois. We have a mother and a grandmother here who were long-term members, if you would, of being concerned about God, as well as individuals who wanted to make certain that they were pleasing to God. But not only did they have this level of faith within them, they also spread that faith unto Timothy, and no doubt would have been influential upon other family members of that given day. As a result of that, good people, I contend that Timothy was raised around the faith. Timothy was raised according to the faith, according to the true doctrine that is found in the New Testament Scripture. And this man was reminded of the faith that was in his mother and grandmother. And also he was encouraged to continue to abide therein as he was going out as a young gospel preacher. What's going to be the result if we follow God's design? Each generation will grow closer and closer to God. Every generation from this point forward will love God to a greater degree than what maybe you and I love God. They also will have a greater knowledge of God concerning what is taught in the Scripture maybe than what you and I have if you and I will raise them in the church. But also, I believe that we can conclude is that more times than not, we will see greater involvement. Our younger people will be more involved if they are raised in the church the way in which you and I are commanded to raise them. Maybe they will be greater involved, more so involved than what you and I have been in our lifetime. What will be the result of all this? The people God will be glorified through His kingdom. In what ways will God be glorified? Certainly He will be glorified whenever God's people continue to assemble together in like manner as what you and I are this morning. Through worship, God will be glorified. Look at people, think about this. God will be glorified whenever the church is strong because leaders will abound from within the body of Christ and the members will be so connected and understand their individual roles and responsibilities in order to move the church forward, not only today, but in future generations. As we think in regard to the options that are out here, what do we find? So many people are raised unchurched. And by that I mean that religion is not important to them. You can walk out here on the streets here in McMinnville and ask those people who are not connected with a church what they think about God. And some of them will say that they believe in Him, yet at the same time, you might be surprised as to the number of people who say, I don't believe in God. If they're not atheists, they're agnostic. As a result of their not being related with any type of a religious group, God is not important to them. And good people, you and I, as Christians, must understand that we do not want our children to be unchurched. We want religion to be very important to them. We want religion to be what their life is centered in and around. But also, you will find if you speak to people here in our local community, those individuals who are raised in a church. And what I mean by that is that they are raised in a denomination. According to denominational doctrine, they are taught concerning the Baptist faith, or they are taught concerning the Methodist faith, or they are taught concerning Roman Catholicism. And as a result of that then, their entire religious perspective is built in and around these man-made doctrine and these man-made churches. And you can talk to them about that and you will find is that they do not line up with what the true New Testament teaches. But also, I contend as I stand before you this morning, is that sometimes, and more times than not, in the Lord's church, we have people who are raised around the church. These individuals, to these individuals, the world pulls at them continually. The world is constantly there pulling and nudging on these individuals to be more involved with the world than what they are involved in the church. They are influenced and pulled, drawn in to the things that the world has to offer versus what it is that the church has going on. But also, and this is what our goal is to have people who are raised in the true church. These people take God serious in their life. These people understand that not only do they have an obligation to God, but also they have an obligation to His church. Why? Because Jesus Christ our Lord died for the church, and because Jesus Christ established the church, and the church belongs to Him. And when we are baptized into Christ, we are added to the church, and therefore, because the church is important to Jesus as well as to God, the church must be important to us. You will find that those who are raised in the church understand the seriousness and the significance of the body as it pertains to their life. They will be individuals who study the Bible on a continual basis. They will be individuals who attend the worship services on a regular basis, and they will be people who are engaged in the work and not just allowing the 10% who normally say that it is said who are involved in the work to be doing the work, but rather they will want to be a part of that in order to bring it to a greater majority who are serving the Lord faithfully. Good people, as we think in regard to those individuals who are not raised in the church, but rather more so around the church, some of them do not know the basic principles in regard to true New Testament Christianity. If you ask them what God's plan is concerning salvation, some of them will say, well, in the churches of Christ, and they denominationalize the church, and we've got to be very careful about doing that. The church is the church of Christ that Christ died for. And the church that Jesus Christ died for that is identified as the churches of Christ stand in the doctrine of Christ. And those individuals, though, if you ask them about God's plan of salvation, they oftentimes will say that in the churches of Christ, we say that baptism is essential for salvation. And that's a true statement. But yet at the same time, good people, we don't say it and that makes it right. We say it because that's what the Bible says. And that would be the correct answer in that. Is that here's what the Bible says, and God's people certainly preach and teach that. They practice this because it is indeed what God expects them to do. But also, if you look to individuals oftentimes who are raised around the church versus being solid members in the body, they don't understand what true New Testament worship is all about. You ask them about what God requires of us whenever it comes to partaking the Lord's Supper, they'll say, well, I think it's a good idea, but yet at the same time, I don't know that it's necessary. Or you ask them about whenever it comes to music in the worship, and they'll say, well, in the churches of Christ, they don't believe in music. And that's not a true statement. We do believe in music in worship. We've had music in worship this morning led by Tommy Savage. But we don't believe in instrumental music. Why? Because the Scripture doesn't teach us to do that implicitly or explicitly. We don't find any authorization for that in the Scripture. And yet at the same time, people who are raised around the church often do not understand these basic principles, even whenever it comes to the preacher. I went last week and visited with an individual who used to be associated with the church, but now they've gone off and they've associated themselves with a denomination. Whenever I went up to that individual's house, I said, I'm here to talk to you. And that individual says, well, come on in, Pastor Key. And I'm like, I know you're not talking about the fact that I'm an elder in the church. They used it like a denomination. And I got back out to the car and I told Don, I said, I've got to do a lesson on where are we raising our children? Are we raising them in the church or are we raising them around the church? This person went on to say, I was raised in the church. I don't see how they could have been. And call your preacher a pastor because it's not biblical. In regard to where we see people, people do not understand the basic principles of what the Bible teaches, but also some become a product of culture or a product of their environment. In this, we find is that oftentimes our kids will go off to college, and if we do not do a good job, a solid job in raising them in the church, they are in grave danger. Why? Because whenever they get off here into the secular world and off into a worldly college, they're going to have college professors who do not believe in God. Atheist. And at best, agnostic. An agnostic is one who says that there's insufficient evidence to prove one way or the other if there is a God, so therefore they line more so up with the atheist. And they will do all that they can, and trust me, I've seen it done time and time again, to rip the faith that you and I have done so hard, or maybe we've not done hard enough, to sow into the hearts of our children. They will reach at every string that they can to pull that faith out of them. And good people, I know that that's a working of Satan, but that is a true statement. They are working around the clock as Satan's advocates to tear the faith away from God's people. But also some fail to embrace proper hermeneutics. Why did this individual look and refer to me as pastor? As a denominational preacher? Or why do people have a problem whenever it comes to instrumental music in the church or leaving it away, as God says? Because they do not practice proper hermeneutics. And you say, Kevin, what is hermeneutics? Good people, hermeneutics is a way in which we approach the Bible. It is the scientific or the logical way in which God says that we must approach the Scripture. As we approach the Scripture, we must not approach it as I want it to be, or as you might want it to be, but rather we approach it to the way in which God gave it, keeping it in the context. And these individuals who are raised around the church versus in the church often fail to understand the way in which we must approach the Scripture to arrive at the right interpretation of it. And let's be honest, as I'm striving to be just frank this morning, is that sometimes these individuals are merely following the examples that's been laid before them. They are following the examples of their parents. They're following the examples sometimes of their peers. And sometimes they're following the example of the people out here in society. And as I present this before you this morning, I say that sometimes the parents aren't always to blame. In this, we understand is that most certainly we need to do all that we can while we have our children in our homes to make certain that we press upon them the importance of God as well as the church. But still at the same time, sometimes parents get the blame and it's not the parents who are at fault. Why? Because the Scripture teaches us that every person will stand and will choose for himself or herself as to the life that they will go. Joshua laid before the children of Israel in Joshua 24 and verse 15 in saying, choose for yourself whom you will serve. And while he did all that he could, and in fact, as he closes that out, this certainly brings this out. He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And he did all that he could while they were in his home to train them. But as they were going out, then they were going to choose for themselves. And Joshua, of course, is laying that out not only for his household, but he's laying that out for the children of Israel. You need to decide today whom you're going to serve, because the decision you make today will greatly impact or influence the decisions or the stands that you will or will not make tomorrow. And the Scripture clearly reveals to us that God will judge all those who are accountable for those who are raised around the church versus those who are raised in the church. Well, who is that? God will hold parents accountable, and therefore, parents, we need to understand the importance of raising our children, because we will not only stand accountable for our soul, but we will also stand accountable for the souls of our children. The children, you need to understand that you will stand before God accountable as to whether or not you are a rock-solid member in the Lord's body, or if you are one of these individuals who are a product of being raised in a church, a denomination, or being raised in the world, or being raised around the church. The bottom line is that you will stand accountable for God. And as an elder in the church, as a fellow elder amongst my elders today, we also will stand accountable if we do not do all that we can to make certain that people are raised in the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Children who are raised or reared in Christ do better in society. Why? Because they don't have the filth that the world has bogging them down. They do better in life in general, in their relationships that they have with their families, with their co-workers and such. They do better as faithful members in the church, if we raise them in Christ, their chances of being a faithful member in the church is so much greater than those individuals who come to the church later on in life. And therefore, parents, we need to do all that we can while we have them in our home to raise them according to the principles that we preach and teach, that we say that mean so much to us. And realizing that we are impacting their life and the future, not only of their life, but also the future of the body of Christ. What do we need to teach them? We need to teach them about our God's existence. They need to hear that God is eternal and that evolution is foolish. Amen? They need to understand that God is the creator of all things and that the world of science has it wrong whenever it comes to the existence of those things that are in this material universe. And whenever it comes to mankind, we have not evolved, but rather we have been gloriously created by the Creator and the Maker of all things. And that not only do we need to teach them that God is eternal and that He is the Creator, but also that someday we will stand before Him in judgment to give an account of our life. We need to teach them about God's existence and about God's expectations of us. But also we need to show them what it means to truly love our God. How many times throughout the course of a day, let's take it to the next level. How many times throughout the course of a week does your family hear you say how much you love God? We say, and we should anyway, tell our family how much we love them. But how many times verbally throughout the course of a week do you express that love that you have for God? You might do that through prayer. You might do that through times of devotion. And you might just come right out and say, kids, I want you to love God above the love that you have for me and Mom. I want you to love God when you grow up more than the love that you will have for your spouse. I want you to love God more than the love that you have for your children. And then express to our children, you know, I love God that much in my life. God is the ultimate recipient of my love. I love your mother. Our children know that. I love our children. They know that. But they know that our love for God supersedes the love that we have for them or for anyone. How many times each week do we express that to our children? If you don't do that, I encourage you today to start doing that. Because your children need to understand verbally how much you love God. But then also follow through and demonstrate how much you love God. Do they see you read and study the Bible? I know life is busy and things get in our way, but yet at the same time, if we truly love God the way that we say that we love God, we will demonstrate that by reading and studying His Word. And we need to do that in a way that our family also will see it. And you say, Kevin, are you saying that I need to just read and study so my family sees that? No, we need to read and study so that we're able to glean the insight, to gain the understanding of God's Word. But as we are reading, let's read in the presence of our family. And maybe even read and study with our family so that they also will learn and so that they will see how important God is to us. And not only whenever it comes to our reading and studying the Scripture, let's demonstrate that we truly love God so much that we're going to put Him first no matter what. If it's the world pressing on us, if it's the temptation not to be involved, I'm going to be involved in the things that's going on with the body of Christ. Why? Because my love for God means that much. And let your family see that demonstration of that love on a continual basis. Show them what it means to truly love God and lead them into a proper respect of our God. I read something on Facebook, and what you read on Facebook sometimes isn't worth, I guess, the time it took to type it out. But I read something that I thought certainly is applicable here. A little statement said that I was spanked as a child. And boy, I was spanked as a child. Deserved. Every one of them, I'm sure. In that, it says, and now I suffer from a condition known as respect for others. And I said, amen. We need to lead our families in a way where they will respect others, but above all, that they will respect our God. That they will not only respect God, but in respecting God, they will respect the Bible, the Scripture, the Word of God. And we have the problems in the world today and in the church today because people do not have a proper respect for God or for His Word. Why is the church allowing some denominational things to go on? Because they do not have a respect for God and a respect for His Word. And shame on us, parents, and on us as the church, if we fail to teach a respect for God as well as a respect for the doctrine, the Scripture, and also a respect for church leaders. We need to speak well whenever it comes to our church leaders and the things that's going on with the body of Christ, so that they too shall grow up, our children shall grow up someday to be respectable members of the Lord's church. And then let's encourage them about the church. Let's encourage them to understand that there is but one church that Jesus Christ died for, and that that church has not become a part of a denomination, but rather that that church shines out even today as those who stand in the true New Testament teachings, and that we not only can come to understand that church, but that it has a true doctrine that is taught, and we need to embrace that doctrine. And whenever we understand the one true church and the doctrine that is taught and upheld by the true New Testament Christians, that we need to obey to become a part of that body of believers who are committed to God, who are committed to one another, and who are committed and sold upon reaching the lost and dying people of this world. Today, as we conclude with the lesson, I ask, where are you raising your children? If you're here today, I trust that you're not raising them in the world. Why? Because you're here. If you're here today, I hope and I pray that you've not been raising them in a church, a man-made church, in a denomination. If so, come to the Lord's church. Understand the true way and embrace it and teach your children, raise them in it. I hope and pray also that you're not raising your children around the church, that you're here, but yet at the same time you're not connected to it. If so, you're not doing yourself, nor are you doing them, or even the body of Christ, justice. I hope and pray that you're in that last category, doing all that you can to raise your children in the church, faithful, to be faithful members of the body of Christ. If you're here today and you're outside of Christ, we want to extend our Lord's invitation to you to confess Christ to be the Son of the living God and to submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And whenever you do that, then God forgives you of sin and you are then raised and expected, commanded to walk in newness of life. If you're here and you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we call and invite you with His invitation.